time. That's where we will be. Now, okay, it's not showing up. There actually, there was a QR code on here. I don't know why it dropped off in there, but there was a QR code that could help you find it digitally, but I talked about it last week and put it on there, but it did not transfer. Anyway, open your Bibles to Genesis 1. If you have a digital copy, there is no shortcut to getting to it with a QR code, but there is still a very easy to find in whatever about what you might be using. But in Genesis 1 and 2 is the story of creation, the history of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
That unfortunately was not my team, the University of Mississippi, playing the other night.
But if you saw that ball game, you know that it ended with a very questionable pass interference non-call. Of course, everybody from Ole Miss is like, man, that's pass interference. How can you not call that pass interference? You were dragging me by the shirt for like 100 yards. 110 yards. He started with the game holding that guy. Like, you know, it's insane. They look at it and they can't see anything but pass interference. Whereas somebody else would look at it and say, man, they were fighting. I think how did the refs describe it as mutual battling or something like that going on? And so they didn't call pass interference. It all has with what you want it to be. You're very likely to see that. Parents, you have some blindnesses. Me as a parent, I have blindnesses about your kids. Because you want to see them how you want to see them. You want them to be able to sing or draw or play sports a certain way. And so you want to see them that way. Everybody else might just say, oh, sure they can sing. Or there's a reason why they are the starter. And so there's a way that we look at things.
And so whenever we go to Genesis 1 and 2, we look at it to see, what is God trying to do? Is he trying to give us a cultural interactive account? Or is he doing something else? And I think what it is he is doing, he is explaining to us in a way for us to orient our lives. At the start of the Bible, he says, here's the first thing you got to get set. And then he goes from there. You see, we don't go to the scientific community, we don't go to the cultural narratives to understand it all.
It's kind of because they don't have the spiritual eyes to see what we would know and understand. It's kind of like you don't go to a blind person to evaluate art. Because they are not. It doesn't matter what their critique of what art is. They have not the eyes to see the reality.
And the reality of Genesis 1 and 2, if God was to give a detailed description of everything he did in creation,
then there would not be enough pages in the world to describe it. What is it they say that if you chain our DNA, you unwind it all, and it reaches for miles and hundreds of miles, like forever. And that's just us, let alone all of creation.
We shouldn't be expected to understand, or God shouldn't be expected to give us a full account, because we would still be reading since the day we were born. And there would be no time for anything else. For that matter, we don't even understand.
This is not the book that we're going to be discussing. This is a different book, but it's How to Worship for All It's Worth. And it's a good book, but there are some things that I just quite frankly don't get. Like when it says, it slightly modifies the common 1654 progression that is employed. I don't quite know what that is. And then it says the five men four introduces something better than ordinary. Then when the four transitions into a four man six, the song that goes beyond a single accidental and actually modulates to the melodic of the young B6. Did that touch y'all's heart? I have no idea what that is, what that is saying. I have no idea. No, understands.
And I'm like, oh, you're going to go through this, I don't get it. But that's how we are. We really think that we're going to understand all of this.
For 6,000 years, people have been looking at the world and trying to understand it. And we still don't have it all understood, how it exists or what exists. We don't know what exists, we don't know how it exists or why it exists, or much of the deeper questions. And when we look back at the Genesis 1 intricacies and all of our little intricacies and all the things that God won't answer, when Genesis 1 and 2 lays out that we would orient ourselves to Him, at the very beginning of the book, that is His revelation to us, He starts off by introducing Himself in the position that He holds. For in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
He is the creator. Before there was an earth, he was. He is the timeless one. He is the one that has always existed. He is the one that makes for the earth was formless and empty.
And darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness.
God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. There was evening, and there was morning, one day. Now there, God speaks, and it comes into existence. Now, what exactly comes into existence? It says here that God said, let there be light. Did he say, let there be some photons of light,
let there be a color spectrum that in the light? Did he say, let it be this intensity, but it say it has this
all the descriptions we think of that light?
Or did he just say, let there be light?
Why did he give a whole day to make a light?
Is it that it took a day for God to create the light? Or did he just say, that's all we're going to get done today?
And for that matter, whenever God makes the light and there's evening and morning, there is no sun, there is no moon.
So the fact that it is a day is really just I believe that it is a little day, but I believe that it's a little day because that's what God made it to be, not because it took that long for the earth that has not been created yet to turn around one time.
I mean, the day for us is the earth turns around one time. And here God says there's evening and there's morning before there is an earth to turn around one time. You see, all of our definitions, all of who we are, and our complete understanding of the world has to start with God, not with some creation.
We start with the creator, not the creation.
And there's a big mistake when people start worshiping the sun and the moon, as different cultures have done. That's also the other descendants of Adam and Eve are wrong.
They start looking at the creation and not the creator.
And so in Genesis 1 and 2, God is laying himself as the one to trust.
He is the framework for it all. He is the starting point.
He is the alpha. He is the arcade, the beginning. He is the start, the nexus of it all.
We
created the sun and the moon.
And so God, once again, is being gracious to us and creating the order and helping us in ways that will help us in what he has for us to do.
And so we see that the sun and the moon, and
then we see the waters that swarm, had living creatures and the birds. And so the water and the land, God is beginning to populate it. He's creating order out of the midst of chaos. He's creating life where there was no life.
And it continues to build, everything that he sees, everything that he does, and looks at and says, it is good. And God blessed all of them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters of the seas and the birds, multiply all over the earth. And then the six comes, so now you have what once was absolutely nothing. God was the only thing that was there. God created something,
and God creates out of chaos, and creates out of nothingness. He creates something, and that something he refines and makes what is useful. What is useful, he refines and makes, and he populates and creates good upon good upon good as he continues to bless and fill and make more.
And so he brings forth the livestock and the creatures around according to their kind. And he saw that all this was good. You know, I wonder sometimes
why God didn't stop there. He said, you know, everything I have made is good. And he hadn't, because you know, it doesn't say that the elephants ate of the forbidden fruit. It doesn't say that the birds of the sky ate of the forbidden fruit. It wasn't until man was made that sin entered into the world. What if God had been a little less like Bob Ross? You're like, what do you mean? You watch a lot of Bob Ross paintings. It shows he does a phenomenal job. But it seems like they should have cut his program 5 minutes shorter. Because almost inevitably is looking great, and then he's like, oh, we got a few minutes left, let's just add this one other huge tree that to me just totally changes the way everything looks.
And I wonder if God had stopped there. But you see, God knows more than I do.
Just because of the law of mankind, the law of the world, God knows more than I do. So as a crescendo where everything is building, as he takes from nothing and provides order, provides provision, as he then provides life, he says, let us make man. God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female.
And so God now makes man
in his own image. In a unique way that the animals were not. The elephants, the dogs, or the loved pet, or pet key, or whatever you think is the most adorable. They are not created in the image of God, yet man is. And so God brings man in and makes him in his image, and he shares something with him. He shares his own image with him.
So much so that God blessed him and said that be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's like what he's told everything else. But he reminds man's world a little bit more and says, rule the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every creature that crawls on the earth. And he says, look, I'm giving you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth and every tree and seed, fruit and seeds to be food for you. And so God takes the pinnacle of the crowning moment of his creation, which is us, who were made in his image, to not only share the image of God, but as he has created order out of the chaos, we are supposed to maintain the order that he has established, that he has worked, that he has spoken into existence. And he says, now to mankind, I have created order. Live in this order.
And so now, when we read Genesis 1, is he enough to create? Can he do it? There's a lot of things I would like to be able to make that I'm not able to make. Is he enough to establish, to create the world? And the answer is yes. Is he enough to overcome the chaos that is out there? Is he able to overcome any threats to his throne, any challenges to his throne? Is he enough?
Is it enough to have a plan in mind that actually works and does not fall apart?
You've heard so many times, I'm sure, if the angle of the earth was any different, or any nearer or further away from the sun, it would not matter. The timing of everything, if the eyes did not have the ability to receive light, did not have the ability to focus in, the intricacies of all creation, is he enough to figure out a plan that all of this actually works? See, the Bible makes no record of God ever starting out like us and writing the first draft and then crumbling it up and saying, that didn't work. There's no examples of where God goes and he measured twice and cut once. But it's like, man, I didn't get that angle right. Let me go cut it again.
There's no evidence of any of that because he is the God that knows all, created all, that ordered all, that sustains all. He is the God that provides. He says this is your mission and this is what I'm giving you. And so now the question will be, God has set the boundaries and he set everything in place. The stage is set now for what's going to follow. And in Genesis chapter 2, it becomes, is it enough? Is what God has provided enough for us? Will we trust in him that he is enough? Will we trust in what he's provided that it will be enough? Will we place our trust? Will mankind submit to this God?
For it's not just that God created everything, and John 3 says that everything was made through him, there's nothing that was made without him, everything was made by him and for him.
And so as he has made everything, he is the only one that understands, the only one that knows, the only one that creates order and gives life. And so now the question will be, will man accept this and will we live in this?
And so in Genesis chapter 2, we kind of get the inverse of that. There was no rain, and water springing up from the earth. And that kind of reflects the cultures, because Egypt's cosmology, it started with where it was water, but then you go to some of the Canaanite cultures where it was dry and arid, then water and then getting interested in later. And so maybe this is part of why, as we get to understanding what's going on, we look up and we see man submit to what God has done. In verse 15, it says the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For on the day you eat from it, you will certainly die.
Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him. The Lord God formed out of the ground every wild animal and every bird of the sky and brought each to man to see what he would call it.
Now, if you're familiar in their culture, their name, something means you had dominion over, you had control. It was a huge honor to be able to. We think of buildings being named after somebody, it's a great honor. Adam got to name all the animals. What will this be called?
And he had that honor as he participated with God in seeing whatever the order of all creation, the ruling of creation. But yet he was alone, and whatever man called the living creature was his name, and the man gave names to all the birds and all the wild animals. But there was no helper corresponding for him. And it doesn't say that Adam came and complained to God, and God saw that it was not good for man to be alone.
And so God provided once again.
And so now we have the question that raises up again, will man submit to God? Will man trust in God's provision?
For God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, so what does he do? He creates Eve. God saw that man would need food, so he would need man, and he puts man in the middle of a garden that had all that he could possibly want, or all that he could possibly need.
Yet he also put in that garden a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that is the question. Will man see what God has provided and say, it's enough? Or will man say, I will strive for more? I need more. And that kind of sets the stage for everything that is to follow.
Now, if you go back and look at all these connections that are there, whether it be the rivers that will flow from the land, it kind of ties to Egypt, to Babylon, to different cultures, Jerusalem, it ties to all these different places.
That relationship with God that is able to go to heaven, that is able to have eternal
life that is able to be freed from sin and free from the destruction of this world.
And so as we come and we ask, is he enough? The answer is yes.
Whereas mankind repeatedly tried. Why are there so many religions in this world? Because mankind kept trying to start on their own thoughts and say, you know what, I think the problem is people need to be nicer. You know what, I think the problem is people need to try harder. You know what, I think the problem is if people could just be pacifists and get rid of all these wars, then you would be okay. You know what, I think, and every time we start with this is what I think, that's where we fail. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is not of our devising. It's not of our understanding and our doing.
It is instead says,
you have tried and you have failed, but I will do it for you.
And so he came up with a plan. Even before he said, let there be light,
Jesus Christ knew that the grave was going to be there and the cross was going to be there.
Even before mankind was ever made in the image of God, God already knew that mankind was going to sin.
He already knew that you were going to sin.
But he is enough to overcome that. Whether it be in the days of Abraham,
whether it be in the days of Noah, in the days of David, in any day prior to it, over and over again, they tried and failed.
But he said, I am enough.
And so he came and died on the cross for our salvation.
And today the same is true.
You can trust for your salvation.
But in your day-to-day life, Do you trust him? Will you trust and obey? Do you trust that he alone can order your life? Or subconsciously, God created it all,
but he's not at work today.
God can figure out what molecule is like. He can even create an astronaut that looks like light that has 10 million years old. What's created is me. He can handle what's going on in my life. Do you see the disconnect that is there? He is the author of life, the creator of life. And so there's a song that
It's probably overwhelming. I'm from your age. It's a little hard, but God wonders. God wonders. God galaxies. You are holy.
But it has a line in there that says, as I stumble in the darkness, I will call on your name by night. Now, it's not saying just pray to God at night. It's not saying that you can't stumble in the daytime. But the imagery that is there is kind of the same thing that goes back to the chaos
that other cultures would have understood.
The same of going back to the chaos in our mind that God creates order out of chaos. As I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night because you are the only one that I must trust in. For you are my first supposition, you are my world, and everything that I have is based off of who you are. And so this morning I ask you, do you know him as the creator of the universe and the savior of your life?
His plan that he created, that he has made clear to us through the writings of the New Testament, through Jesus, is that you are a sinner in need of a savior and he will save you. His plan that he has revealed all throughout the pages of history is that he created us to have a relationship with him, but we messed it up, and so now the rest of it is about us getting back into that relationship with him. Do you have that relationship?
Is it one of trust and understanding?
Is he your first supposition, your most important supposition, as in, I don't care what else, he is the trump card. You see, you go to understand that he created in six days. If you believe God's God, then you can believe that he did. Can you believe that he spoke and everything came into creation? If you believe that matter is the most important, then you won't come there. But if you come at it from God, God can do anything. That's not contrary to his own nature. And so it has to start with who he is. So I ask you this morning, who is God? Do you know him as creator? Do you know him as an abstract thought? Do you know him as a father? Do you know him as Lord of our life? He is the one where we have to start with everything. Everything starts with him, literally. And it's time we live as if everything starts with him and everything flows from him. So if you need to know more about salvation, come talk to me this morning. If you are like, I think that God created everything, but my life doesn't really look like God created. I'm not really trusting him. I don't really have the confidence in him that I would like to. You can come talk to me if you want to join the church, if you want to come pray, whatever it is. But here's the thing, whenever the creator of the universe, the very thing that he would deign to be with us, the very thing that the creator could see how bad we messed up and still love us enough to die for us, the fact that he would speak to you and want you to do something, how are you going to respond? Let's pray.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions about today's sermon or what it means to be a follower of Jesus, please reach out to us. It is our prayer that God would continue to help us know Him more through His Word. You can find past sermons and other helpful resources on our church app or our website, ebcmonroeville.org. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son.